Welcome back, animation enjoyers and turtle touters, to another Netflix series discussion with us this week. After over 18 years of brumation, the friend to all children is back with his first project since The Brave. Can the Pepsi to Godzilla's Coke stand a chance in a world where the big G has dominated on the big screen for decades? Or will we get an upset in the Netflix hierarchy? Find out along with us as we take a trip into the past of villains and Showa era callbacks. This is Kaiju versus History, Gamera Rebirth.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is one of the pre-teens from Stand By Me discovering Kaiju, Miles. And joining me is a turtle that doesn't know when to quit, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing this week?
I didn't hear no bell.
I love that line. It's like one of my favorite lines ever from South Park. I gotta take issue with something that you've said already. Yes. I would compare Gamera more to Dr. Pepper, maybe, for being independent, and also Pepsi's gross. So
see, I Gamera's love Pepsi.
Cool. Oh, what? How are we friends?
Pepsi's so good.
This show should be called Miles versus Patrick.
Miles, when I go to a restaurant, it's like, can I have a Diet Coke? And they're like, is Diet Pepsi okay? I'm like, yes, it's preferred. Thank you. Ugh. I'm like, thank you so much. That happened actually last night. Yeah, last night I went out to a restaurant and had a Diet Pepsi.
Like, I'll give Pepsi products some praise. I like Sierra Mist more than Sprite until they ruined it with Starry. Yes, I can taste the difference.
To me, that is crazy. Sprite is definitely the...
Well, Sprite's the better than Starry, for sure. Sierra Mist had a crisper flavor for me, and I really liked it a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think almost all of Coke's products are a bit too syrupy.
They can be. Like, I love me a classic Coke. We might just have to make ourselves a soft drink podcast.
You know, that's what we're doing from now on. I'll tell you what, my fridge is stocked with the best dessert beverage of all time, which is Dr. Pepper Zero.
Zero sugar, I like Dr. Pepper Zero.
It's really good.
I like Dr. Pepper plus cream soda. also zero.
Are we talking about again?
The only soda I have in my fridge right now is Baja Blast Zero.
Yeah, I would just say Coke is the more popular of the two.
It's also, especially in the South and certain parts of the country, like the default name for soda.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, I like Gamera and I like Pepsi, so I'll make that.
Yeah, that's fine. So we are finally getting some new Gamera.
And oh my goodness. Frankly, so, you know, so long.
Was it 2016 when that Comic-Con footage popped up for the proposed next live action Gamera that never came out?
I think 2015 for 2015? The 50th. No. Yeah, 50th anniversary, right? Mm-hmm. No, 2005. It was one of the 10-year anniversaries for Gamera. They had a tease for a new Gamera project, a live-action Gamera project, as you said, which never came to be. And they actually used, we'll talk about in the design discussion here, some of the ideas from that Gamera for this animated Gamera Rebirth design. But yeah, that would, if that had come out, that would have been only about 11, you know, or 12 years, depending on how long that project came to fruition between that and Gamera the Brave. But as it stands, this is a 2023 release of Netflix show Gamera Rebirth, and that makes it the longest gap between Gamera projects that has ever existed. The previous was, I think, 1973 to 1980, whatever, Gamera.
It was just 80.
Oh, no,
so
no,
would,
no.
So wouldn't it be from Super Gamera?
Gamera Super Monster to Heisei, I think, was the longest.
That's what I figured.
14 years, I want to say?
14 or 15, yeah.
Yeah, so this is 17 years since Gamera the Brave, is that right? It's such a long time. It's too long, honestly. And it is because, you know, Kodokawa, who owned the rights to Gamera, just didn't have backing, didn't have the dollars to put up you know, something, and I guess didn't want to sell the rights to anyone else. But I will take, and I think I said this at the time when it was announced, an animated Gamera project, even if it doesn't get picked up for another season, over nothing, you know?
I was taken aback when it was first announced, just because I was like, huh, this is not what I would have expected. And I was a little concerned because as much as I love Singular Point, you know, going with the more CGI-led anime style or animation style gave me flashbacks of the Netflix Godzilla trilogy, which I was very concerned about.
Well, it should, because they share animation studios, as well as voice actors with the Godzilla trilogy.
The voice acting part, I don't mind. I mean, voice actors got to work.
No, and I think I said it at the time when this came out as well to you, that I actually enjoyed the animation style for this. For some reason, this worked for me. I think because they use the 3D modeling of these kaijus to make very long battle sequences, where we just didn't get anything really like that in the Godzilla series. It was mostly about the human-sized characters in those films, with a little bit of, you know, existential dread in the form of Godzilla Earth at the end of each movie.
You want to hear our feelings about those three movies, just listen to those episodes. I don't really want to spend much more brain time on those.
Well, I can tell you right now. It's so funny
because when those movies came out, I was like, really? I guess I just like had like Stockholm syndrome. I just convinced myself I enjoyed them. And that was my bad. Past self.
All three of them, we gave a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, that's about right. I think it's the lowest of any proper Godzilla project we've given is a 6, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so it's tied with Old Monsters Attack.
Which I liked more than you did.
Yeah, unbelievably, you gave that a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, so I stand in solidarity with a former friend of the show, not former friend, but former guest of the show, Graham Skipper, who is quite the fan of All Monsters Attack as well. But before we get into this bowl of turtle soup, what, my friend, is in a title?
Well, you know, I guess not much, but also a little bit in this. Rebirth, I think, as a concept, isn't really talked about in the series that much.
No.
More of a meta title for the universe, as this is a new kind of iteration of Gamera, and it's not like a continuation of the 1960s Gamera. It is a time period piece, is set in the 1980s, so it's kind of an alternative history for Gamera. This is a Netflix show, and it was seen all over the world, and I do believe, I don't think I need to research it that much, this is definitely the widest released Gamera project of all time. You know,
it has to be because Netflix is in so many homes. Yeah.
Well, this is also just the first television show that Gamera has ever had. And all the movies, while many of them had worldwide releases, none were as big as, you know, how many homes is Netflix in? Like,
globally, I have no idea.
A billion or something like that. Something crazy. So,
I mean, at least it's
access wise, it's massive. I think it's
like 200 million or something like that plus.
But yeah, it did have a host of translations into just about every major language that Netflix hits. So regionally, the title did change in a few places. I don't think they changed Gamera the same way they wouldn't change Godzilla. But the subtitle changed a good deal based on the country. So besides Rebirth, it was also called in various places Gamera Regeneration, Gamera Renaissance, Gamera Revival. I like Gamera Regeneration because it feels kind of like a power that he has, you know?
Right.
But when it was announced in 2022, I was all on board. The very little bit of marketing they put out at first, the posters and title card, I was like, oh, this looks great. You know, but like I said, I think I have Stockholm. I was like, any Gamera project is better than zero Gamera projects. Engi is the animation studio that was actually founded by Akawa, the company that owns Gamera, and they're one that they've done a lot of, I think, 2D animation as well.
Yeah.
Over the last few years. But they worked with a lot of folks, including Studio Kidan, and like I said, a lot of the production team that did the Netflix Godzilla films that we've already talked about. And unfortunately, this wouldn't be released in time for a major Gamera milestone.
Right.
Because what the original movie was 1965, right? So in 2025, last year, sadly, we didn't get any major Gamera projects. I think the main thing was another Gamera manga adaptation.
Yeah, we got another manga
sequel to Rebirth. But a little bit of a spoiler warning, I think they just announced that they are going to release Gamera Rebirth on DVD in 2026. So that's fun.
I'm excited about that. I mean, one, just any physical release, I'm always going to be up to bat for. But this series is, even though I have plenty of problems conceptually with parts of the series, I think it's an exciting event to have Gamera back on our screens in any capacity, and especially in one of the, like, I would say the biggest streamers in the entire world, you know?
Yes, and spoiler warning for what we thought of this series. Miles has not finished it completely, but...
Right. I think I have like one episode to go.
I loved it. I think it is right up there as far as my personal enjoyment with Godzilla Singular Point. Just about every other... Ooh. Yeah, well, wait till you get to the end. Wait till you get to the end.
I said, ooh!
I will say it is much more digestible. I know Singular Point is... more episodes and they are much more dense. I think this is what people wanted from an animated Godzilla series, which is like, hey, here's Godzilla going up against one of his biggest villains. And the next episode, here he is again going up against one of his biggest villains.
So there is that aspect of it. I like Singular Point does some very specific stuff that I deeply love. I think Singular Point is one of my favorite Godzilla projects, despite the fact that we both kind of push back on the design they use for Godzilla. It does feel much more in the kind of Shin Godzilla reality. It's got that.
Yeah.
Hideaki Anno wildness going on, which is perfectly fine. And I like the space for that. This is an interesting one. I remember seeing a lot of critics kind of compare it to Stranger Things, because apparently after 2014, no critic has the ability to talk about anything with a child ensemble genre fiction without comparing it to Stranger Things. But
it's always either that or they go back further and it's like, it's the Goonies.
The Goonies
with Kaiju.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, okay, we understand.
Yeah.
The kids movie.
That's why I like I at least give us the shorthand Kids on Bikes, you know?
I mentioned in my intro here, Stand By Me, or
yeah,
you mentioned, I should say. Yeah. I think that's the kids are in this series reminded me of the Stephen King kids a little bit.
Remind me of Stephen King kids. And here's the thing is, this kind of thing, and again, I mean, there were young characters in Singular Point. It wasn't necessarily a kid cast, but I think this is exactly what you need to be doing with Gamera projects, because Gamera is what, Patrick?
Friend of all children.
Exactly.
And that is something that cool team boys especially.
Yeah. The Heisei era films, as much as I love them, I know you love them, most people love them, outside of The Brave, it's not really focused on children, you know. Steven Seagal's daughter, you know, has a role, and she's, you know, a teen. But like
Not majorly, yeah.
It's not, the kids aren't the focus, and they're the focus of this series in a great way. And I think Stand By Me is like a great kind of starting point, because, you know, this takes place in, what, 89?
Yeah, late 80s, and
despite all the advanced technology that we see.
Well, no, I think that's, you know, part of the reason is because it would stand out. It's like, oh, they get these communicators that are like so science fiction, and
right,
you as the audience are like, what is happening here? But I think if they had said it in the modern times, that plot point wouldn't have worked as well, you know?
Yeah, everything leading up to them kind of starting to go off on this grand adventure, like in the first episode the first two, I guess, of like all the stuff that takes place kind of in their hometown and them kind of figuring things out and having the, you know, the military bully guy and all of this stuff. All that felt very Stand By Me in very complimentary. Like all the character stuff with the kids I thought was pretty excellent.
Yes, I will say they're pretty well drawn, especially for something like this. You know, you do get to kind of in a very short order over six episodes care about the kids and care about the kind of journey that they're going on as well.
Yes. Now, where I start pushing back on the show a little bit is all the military stuff. All that just, I don't know, throughout the show, like, oh, of course there's a shadowy part of it that we had to get to. But, like, all of it just, I don't know, just, all right, this felt a little humdrum to me. Like, I was like, this is not what I really wanted this show to be. And then the stuff that I loved, even though I, you know, it's not one for one the Gamera as we know him. All of the kaiju stuff, excellent.
Oh, my God, so good. I can't wait to talk about the designs here with you, but I think they in their marketing teased that it was going to be Gamera versus five of his like biggest foes. It was like Gamera versus five kaiju, and they didn't announce all the kaiju all at once, so a lot of people were trying to guess like, oh, what five could it be? And it's like, all right, obviously Gauss, number one with a bullet. A lot of people said that Vyros was like the number two most, you know, up
I
there.
I think it'd be Giron, you know, like, I mean, big old knife.
Yeah, Giron for me, you gotta have. But yeah, people, I think, were a little surprised about Jiger and Zigra as the final two.
I was too. I will say I was expecting to at least have one or two brand new kaiju, like,
oh, really?
Kaiju. Yeah,
there's nothing from the Heisei, which, I mean, I guess I would count Gauss and kind of S Gauss in the series.
But yeah, no Legion
more of a Heisei. Nothing really from Heisei. Just a lot of references. And I think in the design, they also kind of reference the monsters a good deal. But it's basically.
This is something I do want them to be careful of. Mm-hmm. Is, I mean, and this goes to Godzilla as well, is like, I love that we are getting, you know, cool versions of all the classic monsters that we love. But I do want to, you know, pause to say that doesn't mean we should stop creating new monsters.
Yeah. And I think, you know, thankfully, the MonsterVerse has kind of got that out of necessity. They don't have access to all or aren't willing to pay for all of the Showa or Heisei Godzilla monsters.
Yeah.
And so we might be getting new stuff in Supernova.
We'll see. Hopefully they don't just give us another monkey. But
Space Monkey this time. Supernova the monkey. Yeah, but I think going back and doing a kind of a best of the Showa era, sadly minus Barugan, who does not show up in this show, is a good idea. Is smart. And I will say I wanted those monsters updated more than I wanted Heisei monsters, because Heisei already have kind of very cool modern anime inspired designs by comparison. So it is great. It is, like I said, you know, it's so important to have just some representation after 17 years. And I will say, not my favorite Gamera design, if we can get into the design discussion.
Same.
But really well up there. I really enjoy what they've done with this, and I love that they have a lot of interviews on Netflix's YouTube channel. I was watching before we got into this, a whole bunch of behind the scenes in the design phase, as well as interviews with the design team and director over, you know, like what influenced their decisions. And with Gamera himself, probably the most notable change. Well, I mean, he's just a lot wider, I would say, than most Gamera. The turtle,
he's a big boy,
kind of extends a little further out, but he also has both longer and larger mitts, just really huge claws. And the director said part of the vision behind that was to make him more of a melee fighter, so he could be, you know, throwing his opponents, which he does. He could be using claw attacks.
So he could pop up in Giga Bash.
Yeah. Yes. That too. But yeah. And then they, for the majority of his villains, the the evil kaiju in this show, they're a little wirier and a little more, I guess, wolf-like in a lot of ways. They're a little more, they a lot of them, not just Gairon, look like very sharp, kind of bioengineered monsters.
Yeah.
Which is cool. They all feel like they are kind of in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about them individually, but I just love that they've changed up Gairon for the series. He looks close enough, obviously, with the knife head to the original, but he's also kind of got like a dog stance, and he has these like running attacks. Just some really cool stuff that they did in the show. I really like Vyros's design changes. You know, I guess it is. Anything's gonna be an upgrade from like the weird alien squid of the movie, but it's crazy. It feels like something out of a sci-fi horror movie, you know, this weird alien squid. And yeah, did you have anything favorite from the designs of
Rebirth? I mean, you know, like I said, you know I love my boy Gairon. I love how he looks. He kind of reminds me of, what's the Pokemon with the skull?
It starts with an M, doesn't it?
I can't remember. And then like it has the dark history where like the skull that it wears is actually its mother's skull or something. But
Marowak? No.
I don't remember. But I liked that Gairon kind of has that, like the knife doesn't feel just like it's a Marowak. Like it's like bone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I really like that design a lot. Gauss, I mean, it just feels like a Gauss. Like,
yeah, it definitely feels like they've taken a little bit of inspiration from the Heisei Gauss, but it's very draconic, very dragon-like, you know?
Yeah. I can definitely see that.
You know who I really enjoy is Jiger. Because
Jiger looked great.
It feels like they took inspiration from Zetus, from the monster in Gamera the Brave, and kind of made it a little wirier, because Jiger in the Showa series is so chonky, you know, it's just like a big fat kaiju.
Yeah. And I do like Zegra.
They definitely, I think they probably changed, I would say, Zegra the most, where it was like a swordfish, I guess, it more inspired kaiju in the in the Showa era. So here it is. It's like a flying fish crossed with goblin shark, hammerhead shark kind of look to its face. Very, very cool stuff. Yeah, so I'm just a big fan of that. I would love Godzilla to get the similar kind of treatment, where it is just giving the fans exactly what they want in just a very simple plot, human plot. And then each week, Godzilla is just fighting a monster, fighting something new, and giving us new designs for some. There's a lot of Showa era Godzilla monsters that I think could use this kind of polish.
Yeah, I definitely think there are some other ones that could use that polish. I guess I feel like less of a demand for it just because we are consistently getting Godzilla films.
Godzilla and projects, for sure.
The Monsterverse and stuff like that. So, like, my desire for that is less because, like, I've seen Ghidorah and Rodan and Mothra and et cetera, et cetera on screen recently. Whereas, you know, some of these monsters hadn't been seen in decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did like, even though I still wanted some new kaiju, I did appreciate like all these Showa era Gamera monsters getting like a real chance to shine.
Yeah. And, you know, for some of them, they've not really had any representation since their original 1960s debut. Somehow Gauss, maybe the least interesting, if you don't do it correctly, has like the most entries of any other kaiju in the series. But yeah, I enjoyed this show. I don't think it's going to get a sequel. I think the next project they want to do is to try to make another Gamera live action project. You know, Kodokawa sees the absolute love that Godzilla is getting all over the world with Minus One, soon to be. We've got a release date for Minus Zero, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, and we have a North American release date for Minus Zero, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, so I imagine it's getting a proper release and not just a, like, Fathom Events. I'm sure it's getting an actual, like, yeah, it comes out this weekend type of deal.
I hope so. I still think it'll be pretty limited screen size, but who knows? Maybe there won't be a lot of other stuff out that time. It's early in November.
That Netflix keeps, and I'm going to put an asterisk on what I'm about to say, because I know someone's going to come at me with, what about this or this or this? But Netflix keeps trying to produce, or at least purchase, like original anime. Mm-hmm. And I don't really see a moment where it's really done something for them. Mm. Because, like, yeah, they might be the official people to release certain things. And then obviously they've done, you know, Devilman Crybaby, like talking about licensed stuff, or the Godzilla stuff, or the Ultraman stuff. But, like, I don't know if any of that has really been, like, hits. And
I think Dandadan has done very well for them
that recently has.
Yeah, I understand.
That's the only one I can think of. Like, and again, like I said, there's an asterisk there. I know anime has done well on Netflix, and obviously, mm-hmm. you know, they have been the place for, like, you know, Seven Deadly Sins and all that stuff. But
I'm a big fan of the Dungeon Cooking.
Oh yeah, I've heard
good Dungeon Mushi. I don't remember what the American name is, but
I haven't heard, like, in terms of, like, success numbers. No one, like, I've seen a couple Reddit threads. I'm like, yeah, it's too bad that Gamma Rubber flopped, and I'm like, well, define flop in this situation. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it depends on what Netflix paid for it. And obviously, I mean, you can help out by, if you have Netflix, going and watching this series.
Go and watch it, but also talk about it, because that the engagement aspect is what Netflix really looks at. And
it was directed by Hiroyuki Shishida, who, you know, has gone on many interviews and talked about the show, talked about how he has enough ideas for 5 seasons. This poor man has so much gamma plot he wants to get out. He also supposedly had the combats, the Godzilla or the Gamera style monster beatdowns, the kaiju beatdowns, were about twice as long in almost every single episode and had to be kind of cut down for length.
Right.
So he has, like, a ton of extra footage, a lot of previs stuff he can port over and give us extended episodes. Maybe we'll see some of that on the DVDs, but it is someone who definitely has a love for the series, and I felt like it was in very good hands when I watched this project. He, of course, is the director of the Godzilla animated series as well. And just looking at Wikizilla, he also did visual effects for Big Man Japan. That's fun.
Also, he's to blame.
I like those effects. They're fun.
I know you did.
Yeah, this series, I'm excited for you to finish it. And
I mean, I'm a big coming of age fan of the mm-hmm. Bills Don't Ramen, but I loved that they did that with Gamera. I love I thought the adults and the military aspect just didn't really connect for me, but I liked everything else about this series.
What episode are you on?
Watched 5 of them, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay. You only got one more. Yeah.
Like I said, I almost completed it. But, like, there's so much I do like about this series. And, there's a lot of weight being given to, oh, yeah, this is also the first Gamera project in 18 years. So there's a lot of, like, I'm taking this because this is all I get, and I'm very happy about that. And I'd be curious to see how I feel, like, when maybe we get some Gamera movies again. And, you know, we just got Gamera in and a couple of the villain kaijus in the kaiju fighting game Gigabash, which you can now have got Gamera versus Godzilla.
Well, yeah, to be fair, though, this animated series prompted Gamera to first have a crossover with Godzilla in the Godzilla Battle Line phone game.
Yes! Godzilla, which is the game Gamera that I played at launch and played for about a year and a half and then fell off.
We've had listeners talk to us about Battle Line a great deal online.
They've done Ultraman, they've done Kong. A lot of
crossovers, but Gamera and Gauss and someone else, I think, were in the Battle Line crossover. But I was
with that game. I had fun with it.
Much more excited about Gigabash, which similarly also has Ultraman already and Godzilla. But also, it's so funny. I have a Gigabash, like, giant desk mouse pad in front of me right now.
Hilarious.
Well, I saw the developers at PAX and there was some of this. I was like, oh, I have to have it. It's just got all their original
monsters
on it.
Yeah, it's a fun game. If you like, you know, the old Godzilla, like, Destroy All Monsters Melee and stuff like that, like, then you were in for a treat, because that's what this game is. And the fact that you have some Ultraman characters, several Godzilla characters, and I think we're getting more. And then several, I think it's Gamera, Gauss, and is there one more? Gamera and Gauss.
Sure. But I will say, I trained my eyes in my trip to Japan last year to be hyper aware to see if I can find anything Gamera related in the country. And, you know, there's not like Gamera stores. If you want Gamera stuff, there are some capsule machines every once in a while.
Yeah.
But they mostly, the big ones are Bandai capsule machines. I think they mostly contract with Toho and Godzilla stuff. But I did find a couple of Gamera capsule machines and a lot of vintage toy stores and like video game stores had older Gamera products, which I, not really dollar wise, but space wise in my suitcase, couldn't like
make the commitment,
make the commitment for like giant Gamera models and things like that. But there was some very fun stuff from, I would say, the 70s and 90s, especially. There's some very cool Heisei stuff, but there's just, you know, I think around the time those movies came out, a lot of very, very good interest. And I will say, what the thing that I saw the most was they had a lot of soft plastic toys of Gamera Rebirth that were still out. And I think you can find them over here, but they were in just about every, you know, toy store that also had a ton of Godzilla soft vinyl is what I meant to say. Toys. I look on my shelf here and that's the only main Gamera toy that I have is a soft vinyl Gamera. But yeah, I don't think I was in love with those toys enough to buy them as well.
Right.
But if you were looking for something from Gamera Rebirth, I think that would be my main suggestion. You'd probably find a collection of all the, I mean, they've only put out like probably six or seven, like a regular Gamera and like a battle damage Gamera. But very cool stuff from a Netflix project, which I just didn't think could have happened. And because, you know, I guess mostly because they had so much Godzilla and Kong stuff already on Netflix. So, and Ultraman, I guess. But yeah, so Netflix kind of keeping animated kaiju action alive, you know, in the last 10 years, they've had so many projects over there on Netflix. So hats off to you. I'm pretty happy I'm giving them some of my paycheck every month.
Yep.
I think we can go into a quick rating of the series. Like I said, I enjoy this just about as much as Singular Point. I think Singular Point is probably going to be better to kind of binge watch, but it's just six episodes of Gamera Rebirth, and they're very digestible. I finished it in very short order. They're a lot of fun. I'm giving this a 9 out of 10 as far as like animated and or TV shows go. We don't really do a normal rating for them here on the podcast. Really, my only major complaint is the animation quality, which was kind of my problem with the Godzilla animated movies as well. But the fights as well, I think, are so well choreographed, not just for an animated project, for any kaiju fighting project. What about you, Miles? What do you think of the show so far?
I really, really like it. I do need to see how whether or not they stick the landing to me. But based off what I've seen, I mean, it's a very, very, it's very, I think when it comes to like the kaiju battles, the kaiju battles are some of the best in terms of animated kaiju depictions. But there's plenty of stuff that, like, you know, I did kind of like, you know, script wise didn't love. I think some of the animation can look funky at times, depending on what's on screen. So I'm confident giving it like overall a very happy like 8 out of 10, and I could be convinced to dial that up a little bit once I finish, depending. But I think it's a great, great effort.
Yeah. All right. So that is Gamera Rebirth. If you guys have watched the show and want to talk to us online, you can find us on social media at Kaiju Versus History, or email us kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. Or find the Cosmic Crit Discord, our sister podcast, where we play tabletop role-playing games. And we have a Kaiju Versus History channel over there. You can talk to us. Or find our letterbox and find all of our ratings online for films, and I think this project is on Letterboxd, even though they don't do a lot of TV. But our Letterboxd is, find us under Kaiju versus History. Where, what are we doing next week, Miles?
All right. Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we will catch you next time when we play copyright-free techno music from the internet and buy as much cheap stock footage as we can get our hands on while we survive 20 minutes of title cards and credits in an ultra-low-budget monkey movie. That's right. Tune in next time for History versus Mega Ape.
Bomp, 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 bomp.